Welcome, everyone, to the wrestling show. I'm Kev Manning from the Lingus Mafia, as well as Billy Botti from the Dirty Sheets. Hello, Billy.
Hello.
So, big, exciting week in wrestling, isn't it? Or is it all just blend in together for you?
That was a rough morning to watch that Raw. There's like nothing going on now. For a few weeks, it was kind of like, oh, these shows are getting a lot better. And then SmackDown's kind of on track, but this Raw stuff is so bad. Like, some of the stuff they've done in the draft makes absolutely no sense either. It's just like watching the guys that were stale on SmackDown have moved over to Raw. The storylines that were on Raw have moved to SmackDown. And some storylines they started have finished without ever realizing. We'll talk about it as we run through, because I'm really confused as to why they did what with certain people in pertaining to tag teams that were broken up, etc. But as we get there, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Because it's better to try and make sense of that as opposed to just talking about the collective matches that we just had that filled out the entire 3 hours of Raw.
So we start off with SmackDown, as we like to do, and I will still say SmackDown is the superior show, and I think it's probably because of Roman. He's just so much better now. It's fucking night and day. It is seriously night and day, the difference in what they're doing with him from being Mr. Good Guy. He's in the ring to start this show, and Jay's waiting for him in the ring when he's walking to the ring, and he's angry, and Roman has to tell him, by the end of the night, you're going to fall in line. And Jay's doing some acting here, and he's fucking angry, and he's like crying, and he's fucking screaming, I hate you, the whole time.
Right, but this is one thing I didn't understand about the storyline. So his choice was to join him or be out of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he hasn't joined him, so why is he just not out of the family?
He giving him another try, I guess, since he says he loves him.
Yeah, I guess so. It just doesn't make too much sense. But Jay's like resisting it anyway. He doesn't really have a choice. He either has to, and also, how do you get out of a family? Like, I can't kick my family members out.
Nah, I guess you just exile them and never speak to them. That's about getting kicked out of the family.
Doesn't The Rock do that to most of them anyway?
They don't have his real phone number, I don't think.
Yeah, I bet they don't.
You imagine?
You're calling him up to, like, I can imagine these old guys, like, asking to borrow money.
Yeah, no shit. Hey, brother, how are you? I haven't talked to you in years.
Why don't you invest in this horrible life I'm doing?
I don't know. Was that Mysterio?
It's probably where I've got the phone.
Survivor Series qualifying stuff, and it's Owens versus Ziggler. Owens is now wearing jeans and gym shoes now. Is this,
you know what?
Just he don't care.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, he's been doing this, and
yeah, I know he did that in the Aleister Black match.
So yeah, but that was like street fight, and now it's like, oh, this is normal now? Now it's just a pair of jeans and fucking shoes?
Maybe Vince McMahon just preferred the look, like he looks like a bar guy or something.
Oh, God. So, of course, Owens wins this one. The women want to be in Survivor Series. They're all arguing in the back. And now we have a sit-down interview with Lars and Corey.
You really skipped over that because I really don't understand. I really can't stand or understand Bianca Belair. I just think this is one of the worst, most irritating people on TV. I don't understand. I still don't understand why the black people on the show are not human beings. But I know black people, and they don't
act
like this. They don't. I do. And they don't like prance around in the background, bobbling their heads and jigging their bodies and going, girl, Like, they just don't talk like that. Even the blackest don't talk like that. But she's just the fucking dumbest, stupidest, and most annoyingest fucking person I've ever seen on TV. Between her and the New Day and the Street Profits, like, this show will turn you racist. Like,
well, you got Bobby Lashley, though.
Right.
But, and Cedric and, well, they're like a thug group.
Imagine you're, like, fucking sitting in Des Moines, Iowa, or whatever, some minimalist town with a lack of black people. You would be hating these people, or they would be coming across to you as another race. Another breed. As in, like these people are like, I don't know, just a different type of human being that don't act like other human beings.
So
like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Should we look at the role model in being Titus or Apollo? Which one do you prefer? Because we're annoyed when we see them too.
Well, that's just because they Titus is there because he's friends with Batista and he does charity work for them, right? That's the only way he's kept his job. Apollo is just so fucking bland. Like, he falls into that category of
Apollo smiles and kisses babies.
Yeah, but he's no different to Ricochet or a couple of other guys. That for him, it's not a skin color issue. For him, it's just a case of, so you spent all your fucking time at wrestling school and all you did was the wrestling part, and you never fucking picked up a microphone or cut promos in the mirror or learned how to talk at all. All you and Ricochet did was jumped around like fucking circus monkeys, and that's the only part of it that you picked up. That's the annoying thing with them. Bianca, New Day, Street Profits, they don't act like human beings. Like, it's just fucking annoying. I can't. She's dancing around in the background, like putting her palm out, like, as in, like, to indicate you can't say that, or I can't believe you said that, or whatever. Like,
yes, talk to the hand, right?
Yeah, it worked that one time where she was doing it when Charlotte was telling her to, like, wait her turn to talk, or go and stand over there, little girl, or whatever she did. Like, that worked because it was a big segment. And now they've seen that and they're like, do this, do that thing you do. With the black people, it's always do that thing you do. Do that black thing you do all the time. I can't bear it. And I'm not even black. Like, I can't imagine how. And I want to get, well, we have to get Umar up one morning. Like, I mean, we're on furlough now. So, like, we're going to a national lockdown. So he's not going to be at work. So I want to do, like, a show looking at the black people on here and how
maybe we'll do,
like,
that as a bonus show for sure.
Yeah, we'll run for everybody. Okay. and those from the, and we'll bring up some, like, people on the from the past as well. Or we'll call it I already have a name for it.
Okay, so let's talk about another minority, the gays. There's a sit down interview with Lars and Corey, and and other than Corey, Lars is there. He's normal.
I have mixed feelings about this. I really mixed feelings about this.
I was impressed, actually, to tell you the truth. Okay. So he's all normal, and this is why we picked up that they called him a freak constantly. If you recall, a couple weeks ago, you pointed out, I think they took away his name, and they're calling him the freak. They were laying groundwork, apparently, and he goes into, he was called a freak all his life by the kids. And, you know, he beat the shit out of everybody afterwards, but he was picked on. And he's actually, like, being a normal person and sitting there and having an interview dressed normally. He's not just some, you know, grunting monster. I thought this was interesting. I thought it was something to make him have more of a personality, to get to know him or something, you know?
Yeah, I thought there were good bits and bad bits to this, but I thought it was more bad than good. And of coming off, transitioning from this on from what I just said about the way that the black people come across, the fact that he came across so human and was able to talk, they gave him shit again. Just like they gave Matt Riddle shit when he was like, oh, I don't wear shoes because I can't feel my feet and all that. That was fucking awful. He's dead. He's never going to be anything. They killed him, and then, like, he cheated on his wife and is being sued for $10 million, so he killed himself as well. But he had equally bad material, and he made it work. So I wasn't happy with the material, but I was happy with how he's not just this weirdo. He's like, I went over there and I ate spiders and they call me a freak. They didn't do that, like, shit. And then he didn't have to be a mute or anything like that. But he does have kind of a weird voice, which also was surprising to me. It's kind of not high-pitched, but nerdy, I guess. I'm not sure what it wasn't perhaps the voice you expected to come out of him, because you're expecting him to go, I had a spider and all the kids were freaked out, but he didn't expect him to
sound like Nails.
Yeah, exactly. funny, I mentioned Nails is in my notes too on this show.
He looks like fucking Nails a little bit.
So I guess I have to take a wait and see approach with it, but I'm just happy with that he came across like a normal person and who just can beat the shit out of people.
Can you think of anything else when you see him, though? It's all I think of. And I'm thinking anyone talking to him, that's what they're thinking when they talk to him. I'm thinking everyone is thinking that.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch enough of it. I mean, it's always going to be there in the background. But I think it's more of an issue for people with fucking Velveteen Dream, because these fucking pussies on social media, they won't let that one go. That's the one. That's the guy that they're after. Where they're like, they just call him pedophile. His podcast pedophile rapist had his pedophile rapist was up next.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
rapist now. What the fuck? You know, people in their fucking eye horse fucking blow me. Blow me like your name is Mitch. Qualifier for the Survivor Series. And it is Bianca Belair versus Billy Kay versus Natty. Boy, oh boy. Billy Kay. Why is she here?
Why'd they split them up?
She's just a body at this point to be, you know, oh, we need bodies to fill. And that's pretty much it. And Peyton doesn't do a good job either when she's having any matches either.
But why did they split them up? So this is the first pairing that we'll talk about. Peyton's doing absolutely nothing. Like, mm-hmm. there's no interest in what she's doing over with Lacey. Why did they turn around and go, or break up this tag team that they can't really, like, wrestle, but they're quite entertaining. And a lot of people like them. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of people like it when they're on. They like their shtick. Obviously, like, Australians particularly, they represent them, and they work together and they have like good chemistry, and if they can't wrestle, they both can't wrestle. You deal with that. You know they're coming out. You know they're going to talk their shit. They're good in segments. They're good backstage. One of them's good to look at, and you accept that it's going to be a rough 6 or 7 minutes when they're in the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to deal with them wrestling separately, and they're doing nothing, and Peyton's supposed to be go on and become this big star, but she's not doing anything at all. I don't understand why they're broken up. They're hurt by this. There's just like Tucker and Otis are, which we'll talk about.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Because I don't want to... Because if we do all the stuff here, we'll find ourselves with 20 minutes left to cover all. So we'll do it within the confines of when people actually appear. But this is bullshit. Like, she's doing nothing. Like, I don't understand why you separated them. There was so much fan support for the Iconics. A lot of people enjoyed them. And on a show where there's not a lot of people to enjoy, there's so many cookie-cutter characters that are doing nothing. And I'm talking about your Apollos and your Tituses. And we can throw in a whole load of other people in there, like Matt Riddle and his video packages and everything he does is so embarrassing. And all of a sudden, we go over to this show on Raw at the moment, and Hardy's stale, and Elias is stale, and Sheamus is now stale again, and it's just fucking shit. Mm-hmm. But these Iconics, people liked them, and they were doing something completely different, whether you liked it or not. But I don't understand what they're doing now. They're just two bodies, like you put it, that are out there doing absolutely nothing. And this match, if Natty doesn't make this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Natty doesn't make this team, who the fuck is on this team? Because they don't even have any people left on SmackDown. They couldn't even do qualifiers. They're going to have to be like, they're going to have to do like, oh, everybody gets a second chance thing next week. So they got one girl on his team, which is Bianca. right?
Yeah.
Who else is on SmackDown? Billy, Zelina, Sasha, and Bayley. I mean, I imagine Bayley gets on his team as the captain at least. That's it. There's Natty. There's barely anybody on the show. I'm gonna carry on.
Okay.
I'm gonna have a look.
Before the match starts, though, which is really odd, they go into the storyline of Murphy and Aaliyah. And it's like, they announced the other match, but then this one pops in before the match happens. And then it goes back into the match. So it's like, what? They're doing a segment in between the match? Okay. So we get the backstory with Murphy and Aaliyah. After that, we get the Carmella promo. I'm that woman. Isn't it? I'm that bitch. But they can't say that, I guess.
It's like that hoe over there.
I mean, I think the term is that bitch. So her debut is next week, which will be interesting.
So she can make the team. She can make the team.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Right there.
And then the Riot Squad could make it, I guess. But if Natty's not on it somehow, I'll be so surprised.
I don't know what's the gimmick with the Polaroid camera. I guess she's going to walk out with it. I don't fucking know. If she walks out to the ring holding a camera, what the fuck?
No, that's some like sociopath, socialite thing that's happening at the moment.
Oh, they're busy with Polaroid cameras now? They're bringing that back?
Yeah, like these dickheads who are called.
I like the sociopath.
What are they?
Instead of socialites, close enough.
Callback to the past. oh shit! Why is the word gone out of my head?
What socialite?
No, but what they're called on Instagram and social media people, like you follow them, they're trendsetters. Like, what's the word? Fuck!
I think that's pretty much it, isn't it?
No, there's a word for it.
Influencers.
Fuck me, that's it. These influencers, they post up their Polaroids, or they have Polaroid filters. They do this. This is a thing. Like they bought back the Polaroids. Obviously, we're outside of this circle because
thank God
we got old, and I think we aged gracefully. So. Like we said last week, I evolved seamlessly onto jeans, t-shirts, hoods, mm-hmm. and that's where I'm at. So I'm not doing any of this shit. I completely missed out this Polaroid.
No high water jeans.
I think I missed it all.
Thank
I think
God.
I even missed. I think for a long time I even contested the selfie. I think for the first 3 years of selfies I didn't take one. I said, what kind of fucking idiot turns the camera around on themselves?
I still refuse to call it a selfie. That's the gayest thing ever.
What do you call it?
I say take a picture. Here, let's take a picture. Not let's take a selfie. And also when someone says let's take a selfie. No, a selfie would be one person, not more than one. So let's take a picture. You know, it's so gay, even Lars would think that was gay. Okay, Murphy and Aaliyah. Now here comes the money right here. Murphy, and this is where Billy jerks off with fucking garlic butter. Murphy and Aaliyah are in the ring, and he wants to apologize.
We should explain that joke afterwards.
Or maybe we should just let that linger. Or just say really quickly, Billy likes to jerk off using food and make the room smell nice.
Well, I can't, to cut a long story short, I can't dry jerk off because I can't use, I think I can't use spit either because it's too dry.
But Jesus, spitting on your own dick.
So I like to use like a cream or a Vaseline or whatever. So I'm in my hotel because I'm in the middle of like buying a flat. But it's not gone through yet, so I have to get hotels to stay at Austin's side to make sure I pick him up from school and to get him all to all these activities because he plays soccer and he has to go to like extra tutoring and tennis and all this kind of shit after school. So I have to get a hotel there for 4 nights a week. So it's easier for me going back and forth. Plus, it's cheap at the moment, right? So I forget my like hand creams and whatever. So I'm talking about going over to the shops, but I see like that we ordered breakfast in the morning, so there's some butter there. So I figured. That's just a fucking oily substance, right? That I can use. So I try and like jack off with the butter. And it's like, I text Kev straight away. I was like, this is the
so he's thinking of me, Wally.
This is there's not many people I can say this to, but now I'm saying it's like hundreds of people. But I'm telling you all now, as guys, this was the best thing that I ever done. Like, in terms, not in my life, but in terms of best decision that I made in returns to, like, in relation to, like, jacking off. Because, like, I told, there's various, like, variations of things that I have tried. Like, I told Cab before that I like to, like, lie down on my front and do it sometimes, because that, like, feels wacko. More like doing the real thing. And then having, like, the phone right down in front of my eyes, as opposed to, like, being on the back. I like to.
You imagine this sight. Billy's laying face down on the fucking bed, dry fucking his hand.
The good thing, if I discovered it when I was younger, I could have jacked off and not got caught either. Because, like, you can do this with a dirty, you can have so this is another thing I learned over the years. I have, like, a dirty pair of shorts. Like, once a month, I just destroy a pair of shorts, right? Mm. I just keep coming into it.
Jesus.
I lie on my front, I come in shorts, I put the shorts in a drawer, like, I wash it a couple of times by myself, and then I chuck them because it's just too dirty I can't have a pair of, like, wanking shorts for, like, the whole year, so I just chuck these.
I always use
shorts.
The sock.
Nah, the sock goes over it. That's not comfortable. Like, I like to have, like, a pair of, like, baggy shorts on, so, like,
when you keep them,
like,
on while you blast, you don't even, it's not like they're laying there, you have them on.
What, the shorts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have baggy shorts. I have them on. So, like, it feels like I'm doing it absolutely naked. It feels like I can fucking...
Jesus.
It feels like I'm just, like, doing it completely raw, and I can just shoot wherever I want. Like,
And you're fucking the mattress, or not your hand?
My hand is just... Is my hand
it's
and
down
the mattress.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're among the discoveries. So I have the, like, the wanking shorts, the wank on the front. Sometimes I like to do it on the... Sometimes I do it on my back when I'm doing it on a... I like to wank looking at a big screen TV sometimes when I've got my Apple Play linked to my phone. But normally, like, I like the phone right in front of me, or the iPad, and I'll do it on the front. And then I like to use, like, a cream. But this butter, and then, like, I use some garlic butter, some mayonnaise. Like,
I thought if you were Italian, you use garlic butter.
I can't remember why I used the... why I used the garlic butter, because I think there wasn't any butter there. But
it was because you had a pizza, and it was the fucking thing that came with the pizza. Because I think it was the garlic bread and shit like that.
It came with the Papa John's, yeah, that's right. Because it was my first day in the room on Sunday, because the NFL was on, and I hadn't ordered a breakfast yet, so there was no hotel butter in there, so I had the garlic butter, though. But yeah, this stuff's fucking... With the garlic butter, though, that will linger with you. Unlike the butter, that will linger with you for the whole time. You have to shower after that. So that defeats the whole point of it, because, like, I like to I want to, like, be able to, like, sit around and get through to the morning and have my shower in the morning. So yeah. Anyway,
so condiment, if anyone... Condiment, go ahead.
Condiment masturbation needs to be tried. I want to read your tweets about it. At DirtySheets.com, or you can tweet him at Lingus Mafia, because he might do a whole show about it.
Oh, yes. Hal, I think I've gotten your fucking message before in the middle of the show, and I just go, Billy's jerking off with food again, and I continue on.
Oh, it's already been on that. It's already been on the show.
I'm sure it has. It had to have been. If anyone ever accuses you of not being a wrestling fan, all they have to do is listen to this, and they'll clearly know.
What does that mean? How does this work?
Because this is very much a wrestling fan thing. I'm sure wrestling fans are busy jerking off with food.
I think wrestling fans just fucking sit there. Just by the look of things on social media, it looks like they all just jerk off to everything Alexa Bliss does.
Yeah, you know, and I would expect, I mean, Billy can, he pulls tens. That's why I'm like, why are you even jerking off? I mean, I'd be just calling one of these whores all the time. It'd be like a little Rolodex and call different ones. Like, I mean, I used to do that. I used to have a little, you know, roll through a bunch of them and then, you know, go through. But you do the same thing with some tens, but you're like, I don't even want to be bothered with them.
Yeah, because at the moment, it's difficult because we don't know what the fucking situation is with people. It's difficult to, like, go and meet people at the moment. And also, like, I don't like to meet people, like, when... I'm not in fucking shape. Plus, at the moment, Like, I have this fucking tinnitus in my ears. So I'm getting through, like, my podcast and my time with Austin, but I don't think I could engage in any kind of other social activity till I, like, got to the bottom of it. Fucking so irritating just to sit around and fucking hear that. Plus, the main thing is, I don't like to see people when I'm not in shape. And I'm not getting in fucking shape at the moment when all this shit's going on. Plus, we're like in a second lockdown now. Like, the gym's mm-hmm. open for 2 months and now they're closed again. So
I'm happy what mine's open.
With the result of your stuff today and whether you go into like second lockdowns and stuff as well.
I doubt it. I doubt it. We'll get into that. All right, let's get through this. We're way off fucking track. So Rollins shows up because Murphy wants to apologize to the Mysterios. Then Dominic shows up and Mysterio shows up and Rey is wearing his Versace shirt this time. He's cheating on Louis Vuitton, apparently. Aaliyah won't leave. She says she loves Murphy. She yells, "I love him." And then they make out. I laughed that her boyfriend is sitting there probably watching this at home.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I've seen him on Instagram.
Yeah, they got to sit there. So she makes out with Murphy. Vince is like, "I'm going to whore you out." So this is what's going on. And I'm still, this is an intriguing storyline because we don't know if Murphy's just, you know, fucking with her and he's still going to be a bad guy. You know, that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. That it's, you know, she's being just used. So we will see.
So wait, when did you get together?
When did what?
When did these two get together?
When do they get together? When have they gotten together?
When did they get together? How long has this been? Oh. Even a month or two?
Yeah, it's been about that.
Because she loves him already.
Oh, sure. I mean, listen, he goes, "Listen, I fucked Alexa Bliss." And she goes, "Fuck, you got some good status to you." So that's all it takes.
The acting here is fucking horrific. The Mysterios are just doing that. So they're doing their Bianca Belair here. Where this is they do the whole look at each other, shake their heads, like hold their hands up, put their hands on their heads. Like, it's like
overacting.
I don't understand still. And this is consistent with the whole company. And I'm gonna point out, it's easy for me to point out the people that can't act, because even Rollins is doing an okay job here, like laughing at all this, and he's enjoying it. He's coming off like an asshole and everything, so he's fine. He's not a great actor, but like the level that I am expecting on this show, bearing in mind that the wrestling isn't that important, and that's something that they don't understand, is what Roman's doing. All this time, Roman could act, and Uso can act, and they managed to like pull that out of them because their segments look like they should be on TV. Other than that, you can only piece together a handful of other people around it. Nobody else, even Rey Mysterio, who's been doing this since he was about 3 years old, right? Mm-hmm. He can't act still. His son can't act. His daughter can't act. Murphy can't act.
Nah, his daughter's okay. His daughter's good, I think.
Really?
Yeah, Aaliyah, didn't we say this a while ago that she was like the best actress in the group?
That's a really low bar, though.
I don't know. I thought she's okay. I think she does a decent job. Murphy's horrible too. Yeah, sure. But
I don't think Aaliyah can interact with her brother. I think they really fucking struggle. For them, it's like, what the fuck are we doing here? We're on TV. Like, I know. I've known you. Like, you know. Like, we're just. It seems like that's a difficult thing to do. I think. Like, I've done podcasts with my brother, and it's not. And it's not great. Like, somehow it just doesn't flow because you're trying to do something out of your normal zone. It's almost like you're over familiar and then you're trying to what am I trying to say here? Like, it you can't just talk like your two fucking brothers, right? So they can't talk how they really would, because they're under the magnifying glass of TV and they're being given things to say that they would never turn around and say.
I do a podcast with my brother, but he doesn't know. He does a podcast with me.
What?
Yeah, I record our phone conversations and I use them on the show, and he has no idea.
That's organic though.
Yes, not, and that helps. That's the only reason, because he's been on the show and he's a funny guy, and it's terrible, like you said. It just doesn't work, and I'm like, you know, our conversations are funny as hell when he doesn't know he's being recorded. So that's what I do, and it's called Between Two Calves.
Well, that's the other thing. So, like, if I was on the phone to my brother talking about football, we'd be like, this fucking player's shit, and this manager needs to go, and mm-hmm. and you know, like you know, when you really talk, but then yep. you go on a podcast, and we've talked about soccer before, it's kind of like, you know, you really pulling really need teeth. Tone it down, yeah. So it's not having you're not having a real conversation. I don't know what the struggles are here, but obviously you're having two people that have known each other their whole life, having to have conversations that they're told to have. But it also comes down from the fact that Dominic's the worst actor. Ray can't act. The mum is now completely gone. It's the fucking dog that bites me here in this whole product. It's the poor like acting, and then it's the writing on top of it as well. Like you can't get through just putting on just all this wrestling, whether the wrestling is good or bad. It's obviously much improved from the standard of the 80s and 90s. That stuff was fucking better, even if the characters were goofs. And they had occupational gimmicks, like taxmen and all that kind of stuff. At least they fucking knocked it out of the park.
Did you say gooks or goofs?
I said goofs.
Okay.
When did I even say goofs, though?
Just now.
I said occupational gimmicks.
No, before that, you said gooks.
Oh, yeah. I said even if the characters were goofs. Like yes. Axel Jim Duggan played a good fucking good cross-eyed.
I thought you were talking about the Orient Express or something. I didn't know where you were going with that. Let's fly through the end of this because we're already more than halfway through and we have Raw to do.
Don't worry, I can finish Raw in 5 minutes. Good. That's how fucking bad it is.
Some of us have real jobs and are not in lockdown. The Street Profits, they want the smoke. It ends up having Street Profits versus Cesaro and Nakamura. Beforehand, Street Profits are yelling about New Day, since New Day did a great bit about them the week prior and dressed like them. Now they do the same line that everybody does. Oh, you guys like to be clowns and goof around. You're not serious. We're going to kick your ass. That's pretty much what everyone says to them. So Profits win.
Do you even sit there and care anymore? Like, are you past the point of caring where you go like, Nakamura is really wasted. Like, you know, do you even bother?
No, I don't care. No, same with Cesaro. I don't even fucking blink about it anymore.
They beat it out of you, don't they, this fucking company? Like, this, like, fucking...
They do. It's the same as what we're going to have with Riddle, where you're angry about it now, but eventually you won't care. Because what are you going to do? Who gives a fuck in the long run, you know? You go, okay, you guys are morons. And that's that. Sami Zayn in the back, he's talking about his match at Survivor Series. He's going to beat up Lashley. That's what he says, which this is the most lopsided looking match that we're going to have. This is going to be odd, which means they have to do something to get Sami Zayn an upper hand. So it is a match at all. Sasha in a bodysuit looking all the way live. She's really good in these civvies that she wears out here. She's like making a point of wearing great outfits every time she comes out. She says she's the best, and then Wide Bottom Bailey shows up and says, I want a fucking rematch next week because, as we know, you can win titles, you can't hold titles, which is true. Qualifying match, Jey Uso versus Daniel Bryan. I mean... Who would ever expect Jey Uso to beat Daniel fucking Bryan? And he does. Roman shows up to watch this. Uso, after he wins, Uso tells Roman that he's with him. And he's like, Roman's like, show me that you're with me. And he starts beating shit out of Bryan. And he also said, you know, show him now. And he beats the shit out of him even more and outside. So, Jay's all fired up and pissed off and pretty much kills Bryan. So that's how it ends on SmackDown. And it's very, like Roman said, he wants to make this like Mafia style, and it very much is. They're doing a good job.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add on that. We know I like this stuff, but I think the evolution of this has to be Bryan goes through Jay to get to Roman because he's the only contender. And it looks bad now because Brian lost so easily. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's how I would have done that. But that is how they've done it. So there's nothing really you can do about it at this point. I don't know if people will remember that Brian lost this match fair and square. Mm-hmm. If he gets his win back. Other than that, though, there's no one else to put him with. This SmackDown team, with Brian not in it now, it's difficult to work out who else would actually fucking go in it. I mean, I assume Rollins and Mysterio are going to be in there and they're going to have the fucking friction. But do you fucking put Dominic? Do you put Dominic in as well, or Dominic and Murphy? Like, do you put fucking three quarters of this whole storyline into the match? I figure you just do Ray and Seth, and you try and get the last spot to somebody else who we've not, spoken about here on the show. That's going to be like overkill because it's all it's going to be is all of them fucking miscommunicating stuff. I can see a qualifying match between Murphy and Dominic, like for the last fucking spot or something, that they do something like that.
So is Ray like barely had a torn tricep because he seems fine?
Oh. Yeah, sorry. Ray's not going to be in it. Ray's injured. So it's going to be like Murphy and Rollins or Murphy, Rollins and Dominic could be the last three.
Yeah, I'm like, Ray's doing as much as he ever did. He's doing 619s and shit. It's what the fuck?
You don't need your arms for that, really.
Oh, fuck. You're catching that rope.
I don't think he had a full... I think he had a partial tear.
For
but
sure.
I don't, but the 3 months for that, because it was supposed to be six, but the 3 months is not up. So, yeah, you know what? I didn't even clock onto the fact that he was... Maybe that's why I just thought he might get added to this match, because he's doing shit. So.
No shit. He's fully involved. At least he didn't get hurt enough to where he's out of this storyline, because that would really suck. It's time
for.
Do you
think Lars will make the team? Sorry.
I don't think so. I don't. Just because they kind of got to keep him as that monster that doesn't like anybody and get along and, you know, that kind of thing. Like, walk on his own type of shit.
Because your other choices are then just are only Seth Rollins, Dominic, Murphy, Big E, I imagine, makes it. And then Corbin could make it as well. Big E, I think, is 100%.
And where the hell's Corbin at?
And then you've got a toss up between Corbin, Aleister Black.
Oh God.
Seth Rollins is also 100%. So I think the last spot, the last spot you're looking at either Otis, Lars Sullivan, Corbin, or Aleister Black.
Let's get into Raw. Orton is in the ring and he says he's the best. He says, "I challenge anybody to take this title. Anyone in the back. I don't care any names, all the names. Someone come out." Bliss shows up and says, he doesn't know what's going on because Bliss is coming out here. The lights go red eventually because Bliss is talking to him. And then Drew shows up and claymores him and then leaves. What is this? I don't know. Oh, Miz. I'm like, what the fuck is written here? The Z is missing. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Miz shows up and goes to cash in, which I thought was fucking great. He goes to cash in, takes off his stuff. The referee comes down. They even announce Miz is cashing in. And right before they ring the bell, Drew comes back in and claymores him, beats the shit out of him and Morrison and chucks them out. I was very happy to see that there was the whole, you know, trying to cash in thing because we haven't seen that. I think Otis ran to the ring one fucking time the whole time he had that shit.
Yeah, I mean, that was a complete waste. I think that's the main reason they took it off him. But the way they took it off him, it looked like they were transitioning into a fucking storyline with Tucker. And we later see that's not going on here at all. I was bored of this Raw like 4 or 5 minutes in when Orton was just doing his fucking boring shtick at the beginning, and then obviously we have this thing with the Fiend, Miz and Drew or whatever. I mean, it got a little bit better, but this was the height of the show. The height of the show was a segment that was pretty boring after the first few minutes, and then it picked up with a fake cash in or whatever. After that, after this pretty standard six or seven out of ten start to Raw, everything else is downhill. Nothing happens at all.
And Drew is just doing the transition thing where he needs to have an opponent in between, you know, give him something to do. And that's what this Miz deal is going on. Obviously, WWE is listening to us and Mrs. Russo, because the next match, Billy, is a guitar on a pole match. I fucking laughed when I heard them announce that shit. I just fucking giggled. Since we're doing podcast on pole,
reckon it's because I sent him the text saying that Russo was the only one who's making the show work. Obviously, the one that made the show work.
There you go. And so they're like, "Fuck it, let's do a pole match." Is exactly you mentioned it to Bruce, and look what they did.
I'm not even joking. Like, to think that someone sends you that to send you that message. So you don't reply to them, obviously.
Sure.
But then you troll them with something that you put on TV. I thought, honestly, I felt like I was getting trolled. I mean, maybe that's just my ego and thinking that. Like,
well, you also did say, do you think Orton listens to the show because he like ran his fingers through his hair after you had a story about him getting hair plugs or something?
There you go.
Remember that? You're like, do you think he listens to the show? I go, fuck no. Get out of here.
So this is my nails reference. 28 years ago was where Survivor Series 92. It's a nightstick match between Nails and the Bolton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nails got the nightstick.
Yeah.
But they still did a little bit extra where the boss man came back and win. And this is back when matches weren't that important. They only went like 6 or 7 minutes, but they did stuff. 2020, where we have all the near falls and all this drama, and the wrestling is apparently better than it's ever been. Jeff Hardy gets the stick, or not the stick, sorry, the guitar. He uses it once and he wins.
Yeah, he levels him because you get to use it. And so he smashes him on the back, which it doesn't break either. He hits him on the back and then pins him because he's knocked out from a back shot, and then just breaks the guitar afterwards.
They don't even know how to do it. The way you do this is the heel cheats. He gets it first. He's too cocky and slow using it. Mm-hmm. The good guy then counters, and then he uses it and wins. That's how wrestling works.
Mandy and Dana versus Nia and Shayna for the tag titles. My girlfriend Mandy out there, I get to watch. Lana. Lana comes to ringside, and she has to watch. And she's constantly trying to get involved. She's on the apron. And there's a distraction. And boy, oh boy, what a garbage ending. Because it's Shayna pushing Dana into Lana, which is supposed to clunk heads and then get rolled up afterwards. But it was like too far away from Lana. So like Dana had to run to go get Lana to hit her instead of just quickly popping her. It was like she would have had plenty of time to stop. So that's the way this fucking end shitty finish.
It's just an awful ending, and like a lot of these women can't wrestle, and I don't understand why they're in these roles. There's so much more that you could do with Mandy. Dana, I don't think should be employed.
Dana's like, Lana, thank God for this.
And why is not again, like, Lana's doing this from the back of like all this fucking slutty shit she put up for Halloween, and I was just like, fucking hell, like, she's actually hot. And mm-hmm. I've never thought that about her on TV since she was with fucking Rusev.
Since like the beginning when she came out, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she did that bit in the hotel with Enzo, mm-hmm. and I think that was her fucking peak. And then on Instagram, like, she's fucking... I mean, she's annoying as hell when she's like going, I use this product, and I use this product on my terrible skin.
Yeah, it is. Shit skin. Yeah, why would she brag about the product? She's got zits.
Exactly. Like, she fucking like talks about these... I drink this and I drink that as well. But
I drink Rusev's jizz.
When she's just fucking... what about when they're fucking... her and Russo watching fucking Survivor Series, and he's turning around and going, yeah, she's... what did he say? She's swatting up, or she's taking it. I can't remember. Basically, she was referencing that she was fucking studying or whatever. I think that's exactly what he said.
What was this on?
On their Instagram.
Like an Instagram? Oh, I didn't even see that. Yeah.
So first of all, he works at AEW. He's sitting there like tweeting out, or he's watching a WWE pay-per-view on the network. So he's advertising WWE Network, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's trying to learn how to wrestle from watching old Survivor Series. It's like, nothing's gonna get you right for this fucking job. Like, you cannot do it. You've been in a fucking wrestling training center and you've tweeted that out going, oh, I wrestle every, people think I just do this, that and the other, but I actually learn to wrestle every weekend. You're so fucking bad. I wouldn't even be saying it. It's the equivalent of telling a girl that you're fucking amazing in bed and like fucking coming in like 10 seconds or not even be able to get your dick up.
That sounds like, familiar.
It's like, I wouldn't even fucking, it's like, you know that about yourself. You don't go around saying,
no, you don't. Oh, yeah.
I've got fucking 9 inches that can go all day. Like, you don't, you just don't fucking.
And then you
get
this 5 inches that fucking last 5 minutes at best.
I learn how to wrestle every weekend. I'm fucking dedicated.
That is funny that she does that. That it's a lot of, like, I appreciate her trying, but she's bad. And I thought she was going to be, like, great a long, long time ago, because I always heard she would, like, talk to Trish when she was around and ask for advice and, like, be, you know, she goes to the facilities and trains and I'm like, that's great. You know, she's going to do her craft. But if you cannot do it, you can't do it. That's all it is. It's like, you know, I never played soccer in my fucking life, but that's a bad analogy because I'm sure if I practiced enough, I'd be good because I'm good at sports. But if you're just not good at something, you know what? I could practice math all the time. It'll never be good. I'll never be able to get it right. So if she's just bad at fucking sport and can't pick this up, it really doesn't matter what the fuck she's doing. Yeah, she's there because of what she looks like.
Right.
Let's move on. R-Truth is doing an interview in the ring, and he does his Gaga bullshit, and there's no reason he thinks he's going to be... they tell him he's in a match with Bobby Lashley. He thinks he's coming out to meet Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy. I don't even know why this is on TV. Lashley comes out. They're going to have a match. He kills Truth. Gulak then slides in to get a pin to get his 24/7 title. Bobby kills him and then throws him on top of Truth. So he does get the title. Lashley loses his CFO music. And now he gets another generic theme. Why not just go back to the old Bobby music when he, you know, was in that match with Trump?
Yeah, I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck?
Maybe because that's probably fucking Jim Johnson.
Is it music. Good guy music? I bet they own Jim music now. We wouldn't have it on the network otherwise.
Well, they don't have all of it on the network, so I don't know whether maybe they don't own someone's music they don't own. Because certain tunes like Demolition and stuff are not on there in some parts.
That's what's weird. I don't think they they fuck it up. Like, you'll hear it here and there. God knows Rick Rude's isn't on there, which is the most annoying thing ever.
How can you not own what that was like fucking... Well, that was just like guitars playing or something, wasn't it?
What? Which one?
Or trumpets. So trumpets, sorry.
Rude?
Trumpets.
It's saxophone.
Yeah, whatever. Like, it's fucking... Like, how can you not own that? Generic saxophones. Like, how... Who... Somebody owned that, and they're like, "Oh, you need to pay us if you want to keep Rick Rude's music." I don't understand that.
I mean, I can't imagine what they're even asking for. If they're like, "Fuck you," I would think they would just use WCW's fucking Rick Rude music at least. Fuck.
So Jimmy Hart was doing the music before Jim Johnson. So are you telling me they don't want to pay Jimmy Hart?
There's no way that's from Jimmy Hart, though. So,
Real Americans by Jimmy Hart, isn't it?
No, Rick Derringer? He's the one who did that one.
Yeah, but that's the singer. That's not the producer.
I don't know who produced it. That's worth looking into.
Fly through.
Because we're going to fly here. Naya's interviewed in the back and doesn't want to know anything about Lana. Keeps telling the reporter, don't say her name in front of me. But she says her name multiple times. And she says she's going to fight her tonight and end her fucking career. AJ's in the ring, and he's the captain of Raw, he says. Sheamus comes out. He introduces his team, Sheamus and Keith Lee. And then Strowman comes out and everybody's like, you're not the captain. And it turns into a pissing contest. I'm better than you. You're better than this guy, blah, blah, blah. So they say, let's have a three-way match for Strowman to get in. He has to win. Strowman wins. And then afterwards, they say, come on, we're all on a team. And they shake hands, each one of them. And you go, look at this. They're on a team together. Soon as Sheamus hugs Strowman, he brogue kicks him afterwards, knocks him out of the ring. And then Keith Lee knocks Sheamus out of the ring. And then AJ knocks Keith Lee out of the ring. And then, you know, says, why can't we all just get along? And leaves with his big Nigerian cool. Garza, this is fucking bizarre to me. He's doing a promo to the camera talking about, you know, you're out there, you're part of, you're the, in the universe, you're in the WWE universe, and this rose is for you, and oh, I can't wait to be with you. I know we can't be right now. And I'm like, does he know what female wrestling fans look like?
No, I don't think so.
Apparently not. This is bizarre. I'm like, he's talking to somebody out in the fucking, I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, so Rick Derringer did all the music that's not banned, that's banned. He also did Demolition.
But meanwhile, they paid for the Hogan music?
Well, yeah, they paid for the Hogan music because they have to, but the Hogan music was removed from WWE iTunes and albums. They can't actually sell it anymore. They haven't renegotiated their rights to have it on under the WWE umbrella on iTunes. So if you go to iTunes and put WWE Hulk Hogan, it's now gone.
Wow.
So there is a real thing. So yeah, he's all the Derringer music is gone. He didn't just do that. He did a lot of stuff for WWE, including the Pile Driver album.
It was a great album. My favorite. I mean, I don't know if there's a better music than Demolition. That's a great fucking intro. And I even enjoy Slick's music.
Why does company make a decision like that? They're like going, okay, we really need Hulk Hogan because everybody will notice.
Sure.
But we're not going to pay the fucking $10,000 for Demolition or whatever. Or
yeah, and you notice you don't hear the Slick music either. That one's in and out. They catch it here and there.
Just buy all the music. Like, you're so fucking rich at this point.
Yeah, no shit. It's almost out of principle. They're like, fuck that guy.
You know what? It's like, I actually feel glad. Like, obviously, sometimes you look at your DVDs and videos and think, I don't need this stuff no more. But I'm actually glad that I've still got it because it's the only genuine way to watch this stuff back.
Yeah, I always think the same thing. I'm like, man, it's hard to chuck that kind of stuff. Firefly Funhouse time, and it's with Bray and Bliss. This is fucking bizarre, and I enjoy it. Like, Bliss goes, I want to try this trick I learned. And Bray covers her face, and then she opens her eyes, and she has those contacts in. And then, like, red goo pours from her fucking mouth, where at first I thought it was supposed to be a tongue. But it's like liquid lollipop or something is pouring from her mouth. And Bray goes, holy shit. And that's how it ends. I'm entertained by it.
Yeah, this is the thing with the contacts are just part of the look.
Yeah.
And the contacts have been part of fucking Rey Mysterio's look for, you know, his whole career.
But so these have red around them.
So when she has them on later, Nikki Cross doesn't need to have a fucking heart attack. This isn't like this isn't like 30 years ago. When Jake the Snake Roberts wore a contact and it was like, oh my God, the arrogance got in his eye and he's like half blind. It's like amazing back then. A dude has been wrestling in contacts. And Kane has been wrestling in contacts. And, like, Alexa's just doing this as part of the, obviously, the gimmick. But there's nothing to, like, run away from. That was the fucking...
Jeff Hardy wrestles in contacts.
Nikki's another one. She's a fucking terrible actor. Yeah. She looks like shit. Just cut her loose. Fire Nikki Cross. Fire Nikki Cross. And then buy all the music with the money for the network. Because I'm pretty sure if you fire a couple more people, they cost the same as getting them all the music back.
Billy Kay without a job would get us the music.
That's just exactly. That's the stupidest like budget cut I've ever seen in my life. The fucking music.
That's where they cut things. Lana versus Nia. Lana tries to put up a good fight, but gets thrown around pretty good and loses. After the match, she goes through the table for a seventh time. They're setting something up, though. something has got to be coming with this table
all
shit.
I tell you, all they're going to set up is that fucking she sneaks out the back of one of these spots and then fucking, or somebody saves her and that's a tag team.
Well, I'm thinking she fucking beats Nia eventually.
Oh my god, you know what's going to happen? This is going to be Naomi's return. Like, she's going to save her, and then Naomi and fucking Lana are going to be a fucking dancing tag team.
Oh no. Oh no, you've just nailed it. Oh my god, this is what's going to happen.
They're going to be like dancing, shit. Like, they're going to be like wearing all the glow shit together, and they're going to be like choreographing these like dances.
Oh my god. No. Oh, and they're going to be called Ebony and Ivory. It's 100% going to happen. I don't even... This is 100%. Let's mark the tape. Holy shit. All right, we need to fly through this here. The Hurt Business talks in the ring.
That wasn't even my notes. That was just God.
New Day shows up. Sami Zayn.
Texting Bruce now. You should. I'm just texting Bruce about this idea.
Sami Zayn in the Intercontinental Championship, like Bret Hart used to say when he was the fifth time WWE champion.
Yeah. Lashley's like, Sami Zayn is the reigning Intercontinental Championship. Like, he's a fucking object.
But, yeah, they call him the championship. Yeah.
And he would shout as well, because I'm going to be the fifth time WWF champion. It's like, you're dumb. That's what happens, I guess, when you like start doing a job when you're super young. I don't think that you do school properly, because I wonder if Brett's probably got like a load of life experience.
He says things like that though, because he says the WCW and the SummerSlam.
Do you think it's a Canadian thing?
It's very, very possible, but I've always known he's always said that. When I see you in the SummerSlam, when I get you in the SummerSlam.
Yeah, he does. You're right.
And the WCW. It's fucking odd to me. It always has been. I was always like, what the fuck is that? Maybe that's one of the questions we asked Russo. Did you ever go, what the fuck? When he would say that. Did it ever occur like, hey, why does he do this? So this turns into a match. New Day versus Cedric and Shelton. No titles on the line. So you know the Hurt Business will win. Blown spots everywhere. And
yo, it's terrible.
It was probably added an hour before the show.
It's probably added an hour before the show. Like, we hear about it being written on the fly all the time, or the show not being ready when they're going on the air. Mm-hmm. This feels like they told them that they had to just have the match to fill. It seemed like it was a segment, and they seemed like, we need 10 minutes, so just beat these guys. But Jesus Christ, this was so... They messed up so many spots. They were botching everywhere. Their timing was off. And also, I can't believe, even when they mentioned it still, that Kofi was the fucking champion. It's like, it's unbelievable to me. And then to see him back here in this situation. But yeah, anyway. So we talked about Nikki and Alexa, which is the next thing in my notes. And yeah,
she just goes to see her in the back. And when she turns around, she's got the eyes.
And I think we talked enough about Tucker and Tucker.
Well,
I don't think, looking at this, so Tucker's in there with his fucking
Tucker. I didn't know it was him.
Yeah, I think that was the idea.
Yeah, I guess a whole new thing, but what is with the fucking tights that say Knight on the back? Are they doing the reverse? They're giving him a name instead of taking one away?
I have no idea, but they're certainly not giving him a push.
Oh, I totally was like, okay, well, Tucker's going to win. Meanwhile, he had no entrance music and he was already in the ring. And I thought at first when you got a glance, I thought it was Ricochet versus a fucking jobber. And I'm like, oh, well, it is. But, I'm like, okay, so Tucker should get this fucking win. And he fucking, Ricochet just beats him. I'm like, oh my God.
Why do you break up Heavy Machinery?
Oh my God. Of all teams to break up, I don't get that one at all.
First of all, you didn't do the match between these two. It's Raw versus SmackDown on the next pay-per-view. This could be some fucking free show match.
This is, for sure.
Well, I don't think it is. I don't think they do. I don't think they reference Otis and Tucker ever again.
I think
Otis is off TV. I think Tucker's fucking dead.
You think Otis is off TV?
Yeah, I think Otis is off TV.
Oh, I think they just want to make Otis the star.
Oh, well, how is he a star? He lost Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I think the fans fucking love him. So he could be an R-Truth for sure.
Listen, this company desperately needs tag teams. They should have got the belt off them. They should have got the money in a bank off him somehow. Mandy needs to be a heel because she's a fucking terrible babyface. She should have done whatever she did and screwed this guy. Tucker and Otis should have stayed together. We're on a show where they fucking desperately need tag teams. They'd have been so much better off together. Both of the guys now are absolutely dead, and you're minus one fucking tag team. So now on SmackDown, you literally have three teams, and one of them is fucking Rude and Ziggler, who shouldn't be together anyway. Do you know they were going to fucking hire James Storm, and like Vince McMahon put it off to the pandemic and then and decided he didn't want to?
But he had that offer before, James Storm, and James turned it down.
Yeah, but he got a better offer from because Pritchard wanted him. It's because Pritchard was involved with Beer Money, and he was and he sold it to Vince.
Oh.
And Storm was coming in.
And this is why Russo was yelling about it on Twitter the other day, then.
Oh, yeah, I said it on Russo's show, so now maybe that's why he's, yeah, he's like saying that.
Ah, no wonder, because, yeah. This is the other thing.
So Retribution is a joke. They beat these fucking guys up, and you got anything else to add?
No. I was saying,
so here's another...
go into the next one.
So, yeah, here's another thing I said on Russo's show. So when I spoke to Drew, the idea is for him to win the title back at WrestleMania. So I've already said that at Russo's show. I knew that was going to be the thing anyway, and that's something that even Drew wanted. But at the moment, he's still going back round to Orton. And they said that we need something for you to turn your heads. And he was telling me I would like to work with Sheamus, but they're like they need to like build him up again. Well, they haven't built him up again, and it looks like Drew is going to get to work with Sheamus. And I know they're doing it with the slow thing at the moment where they're friends, but we know that this is leading to Drew and Sheamus having a match.
Yeah.
Because that's how wrestling works. I'm just wondering why. Obviously, Drew's gone to go and bat for this, but I think they probably had someone else lined up. I would think that if you want to give Drew something to do before he wins the championship back, I would think you put him in there with Braun would be a much bigger win. I think Sheamus at this point is going to be really fucking hard to make credible when he's been losing feuds to Jeff Hardy and matches to Big E, whereas Drew main events this show and kills a fucking tag team in a 2-on-1 match. And why is Miz with the Money in the Bank if he's losing the 2-on-1 matches?
It's funny because anytime I see a 2-on-1 with anyone who's capable in the two and they lose, I'm like, how would you lose? Two guys can't fucking beat one. Fuck off.
Yeah, I just pulled it up, that Cav. The record in wrestling for handicap matches is 175-2 to the to the guy with less people.
Oh my God. It's easier. You have a better chance of doing that than having a tag team partner. You'll lose that.
I remember when it was Hogan and Warrior against the fucking whole of Sergeant Slaughter's crew.
It was like five or something, right?
For a fucking mate. No. That's
SummerSlam.
So that's the 1990 Survivor Series. That was the 1 year where all the survivors came.
I really like that idea.
It wouldn't work now because back then it was like fucking all the good guys got put onto the team. So that was the fucked up thing about it because it's 1990 and it was like, okay, so why is that whole team on that side? And how is Warrior and Hogan and Tito ended up together? Like, there was no reasoning as to why teams were being put onto certain teams. It was just like, they're baby faces.
You know they're good guys.
They're faces. Yeah. It made no fucking sense. But, yeah, Hogan and Warrior and Tito. Tito got eliminated early, but Hogan and Warrior beat, like, four guys.
Yeah.
And then, like, 9 months later, they main evented SummerSlam. And they beat Slaughter, Adnan, and Iron Sheik, or Mustafa.
Mustafa Ali.
You had absolutely no doubt that he was going to win. I think that was my first experience of it, as that was the year I started watching. But since then, the odds on favorite for every single handicap match is the fucking guy with less. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember off the top of my head situations where the more people have won.
Yeah, I mean, I know there has been where the one guy lost, but boy, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head at all. So that's it. After Drew wins this 2-on-1 against Miz and Morrison, gets his hand raised, and boom, he gets RKO'd. And then you have Randy hold up the belt, and you get the laughing from the Fiend in the background, which freaks Orton out, and that's how they fade out. It's funny your note after the show, Billy, because I thought the same thing and I didn't write it down. I thought the same exact thing because they say the award-winning Thunderdome. It's won awards and critically acclaimed, and I'm like, where is this award and what is this award?
And who's critically... The most comments I've seen about the critically acclaimed Thunderdome is criticism. That's not a claim. When people are telling you that when you zoom into the screens, you can't fucking see who's there. Because they keep going, oh, it's Double J. Oh, it's Matthew McConaughey.
Well, you notice they circle people now? They don't do the zoom in?
It's so fucking awful. And the biggest criticism is the shitty acoustics and crowd noise and that fucking whistly noise when people are cutting promos. Like, did you hear the fake laughing when New Day made the joke about Lashley for 8 seconds?
And they even said with the whole who, they go, well, no one's here, so nobody's saying it. But at home, they're saying it.
And someone played the New Day rocks button too quickly when he was going.
Oh, God.
He was like, because, and they were fucking, the New Day rocks was playing, and no one on the TV's doing it. Nobody's critically acclaiming this. It's just a fucking thing.
I think it looks good. I give them credit for. I prefer this 100 times better than where the fuck they were.
Okay, so what award did they win?
There is no such award. This is them giving themselves a fuck award.
Who's giving out all the award ceremonies? I've seen have been cancelled. Like, other than, like, you know, the ones that are already going on, and then they did online shit, like Stephanie had that businesswoman bullshit thing where she... Did you know about that? Did you know that she actually came second? And they said
really?
She won. Yeah.
How's that possible to fuck... Are they like... well, they're friends with Trump, they probably learned how to do that.
Yeah, exactly. They faked the award. So basically, she came second, and they said she was the most... She was the number one. She was the woman... of the year, right?
Yeah.
There was no such award for Woman of the Year. There was an award for that category in terms of all the people that do that job. But because a man won, they changed it to she's the number one woman.
Oh, my God. Wow. They got around it that way. She would be the number one woman because she was second and she was the first woman. Holy shit. That's great. All right. Well, let's get out of here, Billy. All my nonsense is at Lingus Mafia, and the show that we're coming out with day after Survivor Series is Podcast on a Pole. Go subscribe if you have not already, and subscribe on Twitter as well to Tweets on a Pole. That is the official Twitter. And
if that's too complicated for you, it's the 23rd of November. Because I know WWE now have stopped doing this whole thing where it's like weeks. It's like, oh, the pay-per-view is... a week after Raw, or a week after next week's Raw, or 2 weeks from Friday. It's like the sign in
say
the back.
Date.
You've seen it, don't you?
Yeah.
It doesn't say the date. It just has these like fucking number of like days or weeks or whatever. So next week is going to say a week from Sunday. When it's 13 days is a week from Sunday. That's how they write out. What the fuck is that? Like, I don't know
if there's some weird thing that's supposed to be like, oh, this helps better when you say it this way. It's got to be something goofy like that.
A week from Sunday is easier to understand than 13 days. How can you not go 13, 12, 11, 10? Okay, 5 days, 4 days. How? I don't get who does this.
People function in weeks, that's all.
But anyway, so like we are 2 weeks from next Monday. 2 weeks from next Monday. Podcast on a Pole. And that's the only thing I'm going to plug, because I've got a lot of shit to say about my service and stuff on the NFL show, Lock Betting and everything. We're talk about the NFL show and the rape, financial rape that I suffered this weekend.
True life. All right, everybody. Go check out that Podcast on a Pole and Tweets on a Pole for sure. For Billy, I'm Cav. We're out of time.